Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
On this January 6th, 2023, 2 years from a failed insurrection attempt in Washington, D.C., we found ourselves intrigued by a new graphic novel that asks a bit of a different question. It asks, what if the attempt had been successful? Well, Alan Jenkins is a Harvard Law School professor and co-author of that new graphic novel, 1/6, joins us now on the line. Alan, welcome to you.
Thanks so much for having me, Tiziana.
So this is a serialized graphic novel. It imagines a pretty different world, one where the attempted insurrection succeeded. Why did you want to tell that story, Alan?
Well, you know, we wanted to bring home to everyday folks in our country how close we came to losing our democracy, and almost more importantly, the threats that still remain. I found myself waking up at 3 a.m. in a cold sweat for weeks after the insurrection, not just because it was a traumatic event for the country, but because so many of the forces that led to it are still with us. The anti-Semitism, the election denials, the political violence, as we saw with Paul Pelosi, the attack on Paul Pelosi. And so a comic book, a graphic novel, seemed like the right way to reach a large audience with that call to action.
So it was interesting. I'm going to take in a second, ask you to describe one of the pages from this first installation for our listeners. When I first heard it was a graphic novel, I thought, well, that's intriguing. You know, I almost would expect some kind of tome, right? And then I saw the pages. And there is something about what you're trying to get across that a graphic novel particularly lends itself to. So I'm hoping you can describe a little bit of page 13. And do you want to set it up or do you want me to?
Maybe I'll let you set it up. And then, yeah, I'm happy to talk about it. And just, you know, quickly, Tiziana, yeah, just to your point, I mean, tomes have their place. The January 6th committee report is extremely important, but it's 845 pages, and most Americans are not going to have the time to read it. And so we needed to also have a way to tell this story that was broadly accessible.
And so we have this journalist, Sage, who's just left what I'm assuming is a major network where he was supposed to break a story, except that a militia came in, killed the anchor, took over the news division as a state-controlled entity, and this journalist is on the run and trying to figure out what to do with the story now. Is that a fair setup?
Yeah, that's a good description. And I would add, intentionally grounded in real events. So fortunately, this particular scenario has not played out, but we had former President Trump calling media outlets enemies of the people. We've had attacks on journalists. And so it was not too far from the possible truth.
So describe, I mean, it's not like a standard read these three paragraphs, right? But describe this page for us, for our listeners who can't see the novel right now.
Yeah. So at the top are one of our characters, Sage, the journalist, is walking by what used to be the, and in our reality, is the Thurgood Marshall judicial building, but has now in our alternate universe been renamed the Ginny and Tom and Clarence Thomas building. And there's a statue of the justice and his wife, of course, being very active in urging the administration to reject the results of the election in the real world. Our character then is Sage is disabling his phone through techniques that we actually pulled from real ways of making sure that the state can't track your whereabouts. And he throws away his phone, and then he's got to decide what to do in this new authoritarian reality.
It's quite striking, both the details, as I read, you know, Sage trying to bury this information and destroy his phone. Just the level of detail, I could tell you'd researched it, that people know how to do this, and that there are folks out there who are worried this might become necessary in the future. When I was looking at the graphic novel, Alan, and we're speaking with Alan Jenkins, I thought, well, this is dystopian. Then I thought, yeah, but is it? So how dystopian versus cautionary versus kind of real did you find yourself feeling it was when you and co-author Gan Golan wrote this?
Well, you know, it was a mix of feelings, right? I definitely went to some very dark places in researching what the various actors in the insurrection had planned for our country, what they said they wanted to do, and some of the things that they actually did. I think that it is intentionally not far from the reality that in which we could have found ourselves, and also from some of the threats that still remain. So the things that our main characters, and it's very character driven, the things that they're facing are threats that many democracy advocates around the world struggle with in terms of technology and surveillance by the state, and oppression and attacks on the media. And as I said, not far from what the kinds of threats that have been made of political violence, of suppression of speech, even book banning is on the rise in the United States today, and with many of the books focusing on questions of democracy.
So I want to dive into the characters. I'm glad that you brought that up now. And I've only seen the first installment. We got a sneak preview of the first manuscript. Again, this is serialized. And in this first chunk, there's very clearly a set of characters, very diverse set of characters who are resistance. And then the backdrop are the set of characters who are sort of the militia, the pro-insurrectionists, the post-successful insurrection enforcers. And that's kind of how I perceived it. We talk about comic books and graphic novels a lot with Joel Christian Gill, who's a cartoonist himself and the chair of the Visual Narrative Program at Boston University. And I want to play you a little sound from a conversation we had with him last year where he was talking about his own graphic memoir, Fights. Here he is.
You're drawing these simple pictures, and you're drawing them not very specifically. And so because you're not drawing them specifically, because I'm not drawing an actual portrait of me, I am drawing a simplified version of me. And so that makes it a much more every person, right? You can actually pour yourself into that.
Were you looking for people to find themselves in your character, the Nia Rivera, the rooftop sort of vigilante? We'll talk about her again, or the person working in the restaurant who's hiding electoral college ballots. Were you looking for people to find themselves in these characters?
Absolutely. We picked characters that were everyday folks who are diverse. One of our characters, one of our main characters, is a MAGA voter, a white gentleman from Oregon who participated in the insurrection because he thought it was the right thing to do. And he was wrong. But we don't demonize him. I often tell my students that empathy is one of our greatest superpowers. We can't hope to persuade other people if we can't put ourselves in their shoes, and we can't learn from them unless we can understand them. And so each of our characters comes from a different perspective, a different walk of life. They have different solutions to bring in later issues about, how to restore the democracy. I think that reflects reality and also, as you note, an attempt to, help readers to connect with each of these different characters and understand different perspectives.
We're talking with Harvard Law Professor Alan Jenkins, one of the co-authors of a new graphic novel that will be coming out in serial form called 1/6. And it looks at what would have happened if the attack on the U.S. Capitol 2 years ago essentially had worked. I'm glad you brought up this character from Oregon, Oregon Clive, I think his name is.
Yes.
And I'm going to be a little confessionary and a little challenging with you on this, Alan, as I was reading. So I'm reading the graphic novel and I'm thinking, okay, have we oversimplified the sides on this? The resistance are the good guys, the militia are the bad guys. And I can just hear listeners going, this is simple. But I think of Andrew Lelling, the former U.S. Attorney of Massachusetts, saying most people who got on a bus to go there that day didn't go to insurrect. They went to a protest. Clive is interesting because he walks this line, as you talk about, lost his son, but also was challenging the rewrite of what happened that day. And so he felt important to me, but not real. And I couldn't decide if that was because I'm biased and see things too simply, or if I thought it was because you were forcing a compromised character you didn't think was real. And so I just want to ask you that straight up.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think first there were a lot of people who showed up or participated in the lead up to January 6th, the insurrection, with malevolent intent. And some of them have been convicted of serious crimes or of more minor crimes like trespassing. I think it is simultaneously true that some people, you know, believed lies that were told to them by people in power and participated in something that they thought was intended to restore rather than unseat their democracy. They were wrong, but I think it's realistic. I mean, if you look at some of the people who were convicted in the wake of the insurrection, some of them, not all, some of them are showing real remorse and feeling, you know, this kind of awakening that they had been lied to and really questioning, well, if this was a lie, how many other things that I've been told by political pundits and politicians and others and Twitter, Twitter feeds determined by algorithm might be lies too. So I think actually Clive is quite realistic, but he's just one perspective. And so our point is certainly not that there's somehow, you know, moral equivalence. This was an insurrection led by Confederate flag wielding, you know, white supremacist, anti-Semitic, and anti-democratic activists and insurrectionists. And there were some people who were swept up because they believed the lies.
So as we wrap here, Alan Jenkins, when will the first piece of the manuscript be available? When can people start reading 1-6?
So 1-6, the digital version of our first issue is available today. You can order it on Amazon for delivery of the digital content on Sunday. You can actually see it right away, read the issue right away on Issue, ISSUU, which is another comic book platform.
All right. That is Alan Jenkins, a Harvard Law School professor and co-author of the graphic novel 1-6. Thank you so much for joining us and talking us through it today.
Thank you, Tiziana. It was my pleasure.